Turn with me towards the end of the Torah, towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy or Devarim, and we start in chapter 29. Not quite at the beginning, but a few verses in. Call it 8 or 9. It's 9 in most of the English. At least I think it is. Somebody can correct me. The one I'm looking at is the Makom Mamre, and it's 9 in that one anyway, which has got the Hebrew with it. It says the following. Netzavim. Atem Netzavim. Say what? You all. This is the Nifal conjugation in the Hebrew, which is actually kind of interesting. But I'll say it in the southern conjugation first. Y'all have positioned yourself. You are standing, all of you, this day before Yahuwah, your El. All of you, your tribes, your heads, your elders, your officers, all of the men of Israel. Now, a couple things on this. One, it's interesting that this particular way of phrasing it is here. You are, all of you, this day standing. You've positioned yourself, is really the way to say it. You have somehow managed to put yourself in this position. Now, think about that. And this idea of today, it's happening today, appears 7 times in chapter 29, 7 times in chapter 30. That's kind of an indication of completion. But there's something that's key about that. And it also kind of makes the point that I like to think of this as the eternal today. They were standing there for us as representatives. We understand that the things that they are being told still apply, even though we know they should have known, and we can look back in history and see that they eventually were kicked out. We look forward to a time when we can again position ourselves to be standing before Yahuwah. But let's see what it was he said and what we need to be able to draw from this. Because, again, I contend, let me just say this up front. This is what I sometimes refer to as the most anti-BS. You know what BS usually stands for? There's probably politer ways to put it, but that's at least blunt stuff. This is the most anti-BS Parsha of the year. Simply because as we go through this, you're going to see so many things that we have been told that God should have said if he was as smart as the guys with the funny hats, the priests, the popes, the potentates, the presidents, the preachers, and you name it, that know better than he did what he should have said. For example, they'll tell you that the law is done away with. And furthermore, they'll tell you that's a good thing because you can't possibly keep it anyway. He's going to say something totally different. And it gets set up right here with this idea that everybody was positioned before Yahuwah and that eternal today should still apply to us today. He is the same after all, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, everybody's here? Why? So that you can enter into this covenant of Yahuwah and into his oath which he makes with you this day, so that he may establish you this day unto himself for a people. He may be to you a God, an Elohim, as he spoke to you and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And not only, here comes the key part. This is the eternal today that I keep referencing. Not only with you, he says, do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here with us this day before Yahuwah, and also, here's us, right here, with him that is not. Here with us this day, today. We weren't there, they were, but we are. For y'all remember how we dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim, how we came through the midst of the nations, which you've passed, you've seen, their detestable things, all of their bogus so-called gods, their idols, wooden stones, silver and gold, all these things with them. And just in case there's still among you any man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from Yahuwah, our El, to go serve the gods of those other nations, well, a root among you, bearing gall and wormwood, it'll come to pass that when he hears the words of this curse, he may bless himself in his heart, saying, oh, I'll have peace. Does that sound familiar? We hear this today, it would seem. I'll have peace, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. And Yahuwah, he says, won't pardon him. But the anger of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and his jealousy will be kindled against that man, and all the curse, it's actually singular in this case, written against that man, and the curse in this book will lie upon him. And Yahuwah will blot out his name from under heaven. Here's an early reference to this book Presumably it's the book of life, but certainly it's a book that it sounds like we don't want our names blotted out from. Yahuwah shall separate him unto evil out of the tribes of Israel, and all the curses of the covenant that's written in this Torah, in this Sefer HaTorah, will come to pass. And in the generations to come, children will rise up, and a foreigner will come from a far land and say, wow, man, who'd have thought it? Check out all the plagues that are coming down on this place, and all the sicknesses that have been visited on these folks. And the whole land is brimstone and salt and burning, doesn't bear any grass or anything else, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, which Yahuwah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. And all the nations will then say, what is going on here? Wherefore has Yahuwah done this to the land? What is the meaning of his great anger? Well, men will say, and I again say, this is really important. Yet another example of something that seems to be the eternal now still applies. Because they forsook the covenant of Yahuwah, Elohim of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them up out of Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt. And they went and done something they should not have done. They served other gods, they worshipped them, gods that they knew not, and that he had not allotted to them. Now, at this point, I want to pause, because we know what the next verse is going to say. It's because, therefore, the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against them, and these curses came. You already knew that was coming. But there's an interesting point in here. This is a little bit of a Rashi-ism, and it's something that you can almost pick out, even with a kind of a rudimentary look at Hebrew. The word in there is Yo-Yahuwah. And then yada, 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 right? I know. The word yada is the same root. I mentioned this fairly frequently. It means to know, to understand, to grok in fullness, as a term from a Heinlein book I read as a kid. It's a really in-depth kind of a knowledge. It's the same kind of knowledge that when Adam knew his wife, he yada'd Eve. It was intimate. It was complete. Now, how is it? This is the key, and this is where the Rashiism comes in. It says they went and served other gods, they worshipped them, gods that they knew not. Well, see, in English, it just doesn't have the impact. What do you mean they didn't know them? They worshipped them, didn't they? They must have known them. They knew about them. You see, the word yada in Hebrew is a lot deeper, and it has a more subtle meaning. They didn't know these gods in an intimate sense because they're fakes. They're bogus. You can't know them the way that we're supposed to know our Creator. Yeshua, Matthew 7:23 says, you know, in that day they'll come to me saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this good stuff? Hey, cast out demons in your name, did all this great stuff. And I will say to them, I never yada'd you. Never had a one-on-one experiential, first-hand, truly knowing relationship. I don't know you. This is serious. It's important. And of course, you can't know these fake gods in the way that we're supposed to know the real one. No wonder, therefore, that the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against the land and those in it, and the curses came. And he rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, cast them into another land. Get this. As it is this day. Here comes the eternal now again. And we still can say, here we are. Scattered throughout the nations, tribes, peoples, lands, from one end of the world, from the four corners of the earth to the other. Still in exile. Still true, this day. Guess what? So is the rest of what we're going to talk about this evening. The secret things, it says, belong unto Yahuwah our El. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Interesting. Are there still some secret things? It would seem so. That we may do all, kol, the words, the Devarim, of this Torah. Real simple. That's how we head into chapter 30. Now, chapter 30, for those of you that haven't heard me talk about this or teach it before, I'll admit it. Chapter 30 is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. I think it is absolutely key. You want to ask questions about Calvinism and the deeper things in Scripture. Ultimately, it's explained right here. It's a simple two-word answer. I'll tip it off. You already know where I'm headed. Choose life. The key, in other words, to the idea of man and what separates man from the animals and how it is that we can look at this entire book and ask, why is there so much information here? What's the point? Well, you know, Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay, that's one really great summary. But if you're looking for two words that nails it, I think choose life come pretty darn close. And we'll get there, but it's really, really cool the way this is introduced. It'll come to pass, he says. Now listen to this. It shall come to pass. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? When all of these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, the things I've set before you, and you start to think yourself, here we are, out here among the nations, where Yahuwah your El has driven you. Now pause. It'll come to pass when we find ourselves exactly where we are this day. Wow. May it be so. I pause here and say. And at this point, now listen, you shall return unto Yahuwah, your Elohim, and what? Shamar. There's that word we see about a million times in Scripture. Hearken, listen, and obey. Hear and obey. You will hearken, shamar, to His voice, according to all that I command you this day. You and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. We can't do that because the Pope and all of these priests and all of these people that have been to cemetery school, they tell us, oh, that law is all done away with. Nailed to the cross. Got your get out of hell free card. Don't worry about it. Say the prayer. Be done with it. Done away with. Bull. You know what? Again, this is the anti-BS Parsha for this reason. Here we are, still in the eternal now, still in captivity, still scattered, because we've still bought into that bogus lie. What's got to happen? Well, we're in captivity. It says you'll hearken, return, make teshuva. That's the central easy element that always begins a blessing that follows once we start to get the message and make teshuva. In English, you'll see it written sometimes as repent, right? For the kingdom of Yah is near. But the real easy translation, a lot simpler than repent, because people don't seem to understand what repent means. They think if the law is done away with, what are we returning back to anyway, right? Teshuva, simply return. And it says here, with all your heart and with all your soul. That seems to be kind of a hurdle, especially if we believe it's done away with, if we're buying the lie. Then what? Well, if that happens, it says Yahuwah, your El, will turn. That's the same root word, isn't it? Shuv. Your captivity, your slavery, your bondage, and He will have compassion upon you, and He will return and gather you from all the peoples, all the places in the whole world where Yahuwah, your Elohim, has scattered you. If you're dispersed to the utmost parts of heaven, from there He will gather you. And from there he will fetch you. And He will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you will possess it. He'll do you good, multiply you above your fathers, circumcise your heart. Oh, wait, no, the new covenant says that's a done deal. Well, read Jeremiah 31. No, it doesn't. Says it'll no longer be necessary, if that was really a done deal, for anybody to teach anybody anything, because all of them, from the greatest of them to the least of them, would know it. Any fool, pardon my bluntness, can look at the world today and go, come on. Just about everybody in Washington, for one, doesn't know it. Most of those that believe that the Torah is done away with still don't know it. We got a long ways to go, it would seem, and it starts again with this idea of making teshuvah. What? Well, to something that they don't know, because they don't yada the Torah. But when this happens, and we can look forward to this, and by the way, here's the really, really good news, folks. You look at the things we're going to talk about tonight, I think we're getting very close to the point where at least some people will begin to wake up, and we can begin to see the elements, the mileposts along the road that will mark our return and this time of regathering. It's a constant prayer. May we live to see it. May we walk in obedience. May we be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth, to be overcomers, having done all to stand, so that we can be here and be regathered. All right, he says, wherever we are, he'll come get us. And he will. Hadn't been done yet, obviously. Circumcise our heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul, and you may live. And he will put all these curses upon your enemies and on those that hate you and persecuted you. And then what? Then you shall make teshuva. You shall shuv and return and hearken, shamar, to the voice of Yahuwah. And do. What? No, it's done away with. No, it's not. And do all of his commandments which I command you this day. There's that word again, that hayom. And Yahuwah will make you over abundant in all the work of your hand, the fruit of your body, your cattle, the fruit of your land, all of this for tov, for good. And Yahuwah will again rejoice over you for tov, for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. Is there a caveat? You betcha. If you will hearken to the voice of Yahuwah your El, to... How many times does he have to say this? It's not that hard. To hearken, to listen, to keep, to do his commandments, mitzvotin, in this case, and his statutes, you know the word, hukatin, which are written in this book of the Torah, which hasn't been done away with, and still applies this day, if you will turn unto Yahuwah with all your heart and with all your soul. One of the things I like about chapter 30 is not only is it simple and clear, and in some cases, downright sarcastic, we're getting there. It's a little bit repetitious because it must be important. Verse 11 is the one that I'm going to encourage you. If you deal with the Sun God Day-keeping church, and most of us do, right? We've got friends, we've got loved ones that are still carrying some of this baggage and that are saying, why are you Judaizing? Why are you keeping these feasts that are done away with? Because we like these pagan things better. We want to celebrate Mithra's birthday. We want to celebrate with bunnies and eggs. You know, you've heard all that stuff. We know it's anathema. It's a stench. We know it's, you know, it was not only done away with. It was never supposed to have been there to begin with. It's why we're still this day in bondage and scattered. But nevertheless, people have a problem with that. Because they've been fed this lie their whole lives. That we're right now in these next verses fixing to see debunked once and for all, literally, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Because if Yahuwah be true, let every man be a liar, right? Let God be true and every man a liar. The people that say his word is not true, that he ain't the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that he can't be trusted to keep his word because the guy on the red phone called him up and said, God, you got this wrong. You got to understand. Okay, pork is just great food. Have a little bacon. Jesus died on the cross so we can have a ham sandwich and all kinds of similar bad stuff. So highlight this. Put great big red arrows to it. And if necessary, read this. And I tend to do it, as you might suspect. Some of you have heard me do this before. A bit sarcastically. Because I think it really helps to read this in the sarcastic sense that it needs to be read. Because, again, let's start with the lie we've all heard. By the way, give me some ones. If you've heard this lie, please put a one up on the screen. I really want to see. I suspect everybody listening has probably heard it. I have heard it, not hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Goes like this. Nobody can keep the law, right? It's so hard. The law is such a burden. This Old Testament God wrote all of this stuff down. You can't possibly keep it. Nobody, the only person ever could keep it was Jesus Christ. And he died keeping it. You can't possibly keep it. Don't even try. What a load of unmitigated BS. And you know what, folks? Bovine scatological detritus is probably the politest thing for it. What it really is crap from the golden calf. It is a lie from the pit of hell. Why? Because verse 11 nails it. For this commandment, which I command you this day, today, the eternal now, remember, hasn't been done away with. Yahushua himself said it. A lot of folks that talk about Jesus don't like to say that this is true because it makes him a liar. If he did away with the law, he couldn't possibly be who he said he was. So we got a disconnect right there. In his very first speech, he made the thing that the church has been telling about him a lie ever since. He says he wasn't going to change one bit of the Torah, of the covenant, of the commandment that was made this day in the eternal now and still applies. And oh, the reason some of those tribes didn't come back, the lost tribes to which he was sent, because they're still out there in rebellion. Okay, all ones, everybody's heard it. Good. For this commandment which I command you this day, it's not too hard for you, neither is it far off. So what? Hey, what? No, no, it's too hard. Nobody can keep the law. Nobody. Jesus Christ alone can keep the law. Bull. This commandment, he says, which I command you this day, is not too hard for you, nor is it far off. Now we get sarcastic because it's the only way to let this ring true and really hit home. It's not up in heaven that you need to say something like, who shall go up to heaven and bring it to us so that we can be made to hear it, so that we can do it. Nor is it over on the other side of the sea. It's not beyond the sea, so that you need to say, well, who will go across the sea and get it for us and bring it to us and make us hear it so that we may do it? In other words, folks, you've heard, I've heard, we've all heard this load of crap from a church that lies through their teeth. Let God be true. No, his real name is Yahuwah. And every man a liar, especially those that say he can't be trusted to keep his word, and that what he wrote and said, keep this day forever, return to me with your whole heart, with your whole soul. Well, who is the liar here? It's not too hard for you. Don't even begin to believe that load of you-know-what. What does he say it is? Well, it's very nigh unto you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Well, at least if your heart hasn't been hardened and you've believed the lie and cast it out of there, not listened to that little still small voice. Can you see how deep this lie goes? The reason why I really hammer this is because, folks, this is at the heart of the great big lie that separates the church, a church from another Jesus whom we have not preached, from making teshuvah, from returning to him, even a little bit, much less not with their whole heart and with their whole soul. If we have accepted the lie, and we aren't standing here today before him, because we don't want to yada him, because we don't want to walk in obedience to him, to shamar, to his statutes and judgments, commandments, because we believe the BS, that it's all been done away with, nailed to the cross, and it was too hard anyway, be glad it's done away with. Not a word of that is true. The word is very nigh to you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you may do it. And guess what? That includes keeping his feasts, which is really kind of neat because here we are on the doorstep of the fall feasts and all the things that the church, the Romanized, paganized, whore church, which denies his very words, calls him a liar, says you got to believe the popes and all those other people instead. It's Sun God Day now. We keep Christmas and Ishtar Day. And for crying out loud, if you think you're going to keep Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur and this Feast of Mangers, Tabernacles, you know, the time when he was really born? Well, you're a Judaizer. We might just kill you. And they did for centuries. Many people have been killed. Or nowadays they ostracize folks. Say, get out of here. You're not welcome in this nice pagan place. It is really, really tough to deal with what's written and to still think that, you know what? Can we truly return to him, make teshuva with our whole heart and our whole soul, if we believe the lie that he can't be trusted to keep his own word? That it really is too hard when he says it's not? This is a major, to call it a stumbling block, is a little bit on the short side. It's not quite a bold enough pronouncement. This is a lie from the pit of hell. And it is literally a lie that leads to death. There's a way that seems right to a man, and the end thereof is the way of death. This is exactly by design. I think there is nothing to this except the clear hand of the adversary at work, taking everything that he says is tov and good, turning it upside down and saying it needs to be done away with, because we just don't like it, because we know better than him. Now, after all of this, we get to a repetition. It's in here twice in about four verses, of what I think is probably one of the most basic, one of the most clear, one of the most in-your-face, blunt choices you will ever see. And it leads us right to the two-word summary of the Torah. And it also leads us to a place that is really difficult to reconcile with another Jesus whom we have not preached. Let's read it twice. See? Behold? Check it out. See, I have set before you, when? This day, the eternal now, life and good and death and evil. Life and blessing, death and cursing, tov and ra. I've set all this before you, and in that I command you this day to love Yahuwah, Eloheka, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His ordinances. Is that clear? Mishpatim, mitzvotin, hukim. And then you'll live, you'll multiply, and Yahuwah will bless you in the land that you go in to possess. But, and this is a big but because it happened, and guess what? It's still happening. But if your heart turns away, you won't hear, but you're instead drawn away. You want to worship other gods born on the December 25th and all kinds of other crap and serve them. Well, I declare to you this day, then and now, you'll surely perish. You won't prolong your days on the land, and indeed, that was true and remains true when you go over the Jordan to possess it. Verse 19 repeats it in a slightly different and perhaps even more poetic way. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. Now, I always pause here, because you notice in the very first speech, the first public address that Yahushua gave, it was called the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew chapter 5. You get down to about verses 17 through 19, and he does several things. First, he says, I'm not a liar. I ain't changing one yod nor tittle. And furthermore, in the very same verse, he calls the very same two witnesses. Guess what? This day, the eternal now, they're still here. Those same two witnesses that Moshe was talking about, the prophet like unto Moshe was still talking about. The two witnesses that still exist, and that means that his word, his Torah, has not passed away. Moses called them as witnesses against you this day. Say what? That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. There's a two-word summary of Torah. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. Now let's pause there. You've heard me make all kinds of, you know, sarcastic, sometimes, hopefully they're easy to remember, because that's the goal here, is that these things should be easy to remember and kind of pithy so that we can say, okay, I understand this. It's not hard. This is an open book test, right? It's an open book test. Open to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and look here and say, okay, let's see. Tough choice, life and death, blessing and cursing. Which would I want? Oh, you know what? In today's society, death looks pretty good. Got a lot of folks that seem to just love cursing. They wallow in it. Those that obey him know that the answer is real simple. It's written right here. Two words, genuine print. Choose life so that you can live. John chapter 10, verse 10. It's an easy one to remember too. Yehukanan, Yohanan, 10:10. Yeshua says something really similar. He says, I have come that they might have life. Huh? Yeah, make the choice and have it more abundantly. It's a consistent, repeating, thoroughly wonderful, blessed message. Choose life. Choose life and have it more abundantly. I note that this has all kinds of other ramifications in Torah. I mean, ultimately, folks, you'll hear the sages, the legalists, the scholars say, okay, sometimes there seem to be a contradiction. Suppose this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. We'll set up a moral dilemma and look to see if we can make a logical moral choice. Well, the simple answer is choose life. You choose the answer that is, in fact, most consistent with choosing life. And that is walking in accord with the instruction of Torah. It's not too hard. Hey, seems like he just said that too, didn't he? It's not too hard. It's not across the sea. It's not up in heaven. You don't need anybody else to have to tell it to you, explain it to you, because it's real simple. If you simply cast out the BS, the lies, the things that represent death and the choice of serving other gods, and get with the program. Let's start again. Take a run at verse 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. To love Yahuwah Eloheka, to hearken, to shamar to his voice. Shema. Remember, the same root word, actually, depending upon the conjugation. Sometimes you'll hear shema. Sometimes it's the process of shamar. Hearken, though, is a great English word. We don't use it anymore for the same reason that we don't talk about this chapter very much in a lot of places. to cleave unto him, for that is your life and the length of your days, so that you can dwell in the land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Yaakov, to give them. And you know what, folks? It's a short, it's a pithy, and it is an absolutely profound, absolutely simple, and absolutely life and death, blessing and cursing, straightforward reading of the Torah and the Parsha. And that is a good place to finish.